For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.
Episode 377 of your favorite wrestling podcast, and according to millionpodcast.com, the 19th best wrestling podcast in the world today. I'm your host for this evening, for now, hopefully, Jesse Velasquez, and joined by a wonderful, refreshing face. We have missed you. Justin joined. How are you?
I am pretty good. The household is still going through the ups and downs of the flu season. My youngest got it again this week, but he's already seems to be on the mend and doing a lot better. But other than that, I'm pretty good, man. My Spurs won today, and I'm in the throes of a deep trading card addiction right now. I just can't stop. I actually got a couple of your boys recently.
Elaborate on this, please.
For anybody watching, I got a fireworks JJ McCarthy there and this sweet Dallas Turner patch card.
Okay.
It's pretty neat. I have buddies who really got into it, and kind of through them, I'm like just super into it now. Can't get enough of it. Constantly on eBay looking for stuff. I got a sweet Will Ospreay card. It's not down here. It's in my son's collection right now, but I'll have to show that to you sometime.
Oh my gosh. Have you been getting the ones that have the graded, or they're not graded, but they're like the limited edition, one of 25? Because I know Ryan has one or two.
One of the wrestling's one is, actually I got a Bret Hart that is 275, I think. I don't know where that is, but that is a pretty sweet card also.
All right.
Did you ever do the trading card game?
I've never done. Are you just actual cards in general?
Yeah. I mean, like I took a very long layoff, but as a kid, I was constantly getting cards, and then I just kind of stopped, and now I'm back at it.
Big time as a kid. I think it peaked for me in 94, I believe. I think the three most popular cards I've ever owned are Shaq's rookie, the Orlando Magic.
Ooh.
Ken Griffey Jr.'s upper deck, which is one of the most famous cards I can think of from that time frame. Nice. And then I have two others. I have a Wayne Gretzky year 3. I have not looked at the price on that. And then I have a second year Jerry Rice San Francisco Topps rookie card.
Yeah, you might have to pull those out of the old drawer and see what they're worth.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not kidding. I have a buddy of mine a couple of years ago who's making very good money at a very high and prestigious insurance company that sells to law firms. And he thought about opening his own card shop and hiring a couple of us just to work if we wanted to. And I had considered it. It seems like a blast. Yeah.
There's a really good one in your neck of the woods that I've been like, I go to their website or their YouTube page regular to watch their breaks and stuff. Triple Diamond Sports, free plug for them from the wrestling podcast.
Oh, much deserved. Are they in the Mall of America or somewhere else?
No. Ah, crap. You know, I don't know where they're at exactly. All I know is they're about 15 to 20 minutes away from Edina.
Okay. Okay. I'm about 15, 20 minutes away from there. So hopefully it's towards me and not away.
Yeah. Oh, how's Jesse been?
Really well. Life's kind of clicking. So unfortunately, we'll get this out of the way right now. Not drinking tonight, as we can see. So got a little Powerade, don't have an NA. I might go on a mini bender this weekend, but that's for here nor there. Justin, what do you have?
I'm drinking a beer, fellas.
Yes.
I think this is my first during the pod alcoholic beverage in quite a while. But yeah, I got a Lake Time Brewery Haze of Our Lives IPA.
Ooh, okay. Where is Lake Time from?
I think it's Clear Lake. Clear Lake, Iowa. I might be wrong there. Nope, it is Clear Lake.
Okay. Okay. Very nice. I like the name of it. Haze of Our Lives.
Yeah, right? I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. So Aaron's helping us out here since he is a Minnesotan just like myself. He believes that the Triple Diamond card shop is in Bloomington, which would be near me.
Okay. Two locations. I might be wrong.
Okay. Sweet. What you got? Oh, is that... It is.
Mm. And I got this, the light from the computer isn't quite doing these things justice. They're really sharp looking cards.
A red hot Timberwolves team right now. So we got that going too.
Yeah, big win, huh? Beating the Nuggets.
Yeah, 20 point W last night. They are on their way. They're finally clicking. Everybody's healthy and the trade's looking a little more salvageable than it did at the beginning of the season.
Who's your favorite basketball player of all time?
KG.
Who's your favorite basketball player that did not play for the Timberwolves?
Oh, do I hate to admit this? It's still probably, even though he's turned into a diva over the years, Kevin Durant, because I've been a University of Texas guy.
Okay. Because of that 1 year he spent there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but ever since, I bought his replica Seattle Supersonics jersey.
Oh, really?
His rookie year.
Oh, nice, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just telling a friend last night, you know, because the Celtics got beat by Oklahoma City, but like you got to respect the way OKC team builds. They're so good at drafting. They're great at free agents. And it's just like I would be enjoying it a whole lot more if they were the Supersonics.
We all would. And by the way, Durant's rookie year, the next year is when they moved to OKC.
Mm-hmm. It was just 1 year and then they moved.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. They were part of that Celtics deal, by the way.
Yep. I can't remember who the idiot coach was, but all I remember is that they were trying to play Durant at shooting guard, which kind of tells you where the league was then.
Mm-hmm. And look where it is now. It's completely different. So, goodness. Yeah. This NBA playoff season, which is coming up here in about a month, is going to be impressive. Last question on this. What do you think of the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I think they're one of the four favorites to win it all. I mean, you can't really deny what they're doing with, you know, they have two giant win streaks. You know, they've been able to slay some giants, but I don't know. You know, when it comes to playoff time, that's a whole different ball game. But I think they definitely have the tools to go all the way.
Okay.
Egan. Yeah, that's it. That's what I was thinking of.
That is near me.
Okay.
Egan's a lot closer than Bloomington is. That's awesome. God, I think I might be enjoying this chat a little bit. Favorite player now, favorite non-Jazz player. Justin, let's go over yours quick. I know mine are like 90s and present day. If you want to go back to the 80s, it probably was MJ. And David Robinson were my two favorites back then.
I think two of my non-Celtics favorites ever, it'd be similar to yours. It'd be probably KG and AI. Two guys, you can just say their initials and everybody knows who you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
Those are, I always loved those two guys. So obviously it was a huge deal when the Celtics got Kevin Garnett.
Oh yes. Gave him a ring. Anything was possible. I jumped on that Celtics bandwagon so fast. Anytime they can beat the Lakers. I mean, hey, that's what you like with that rivalry.
Oh yeah.
All right. So I think everybody enjoyed the basketball and card talk as well. So with that being said, we're going to say goodbye to Sam because we're done talking about beer all.
Bye, Samantha.
And I know. If we're going to jump into patrons real quick here, our lovely patrons, thank you so much. I'm going to keep this super short because we are going to hit this wrestling pretty hard and hope for a Ryan Drosty drop in. For those who are unaware, he is jam-packed with conferences today. And we'll be back soon. That's all I'm going to say. We'll have an announcement at the end of the show, whether it's myself or Ryan, just in regards to our schedule coming up here in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, you can check us out on our In Your House 6 review that we did last week. It just dropped for patrons. I've been dropping TR and Unplugs on the weekly. That's going to continue for the foreseeable future. Hundreds of episodes you can find on there. We have two new patrons as well, so let's shout them out now. Courtney Clark, thank you so much for your support, and welcome back to the fold, Carl Longhan. We missed
you. Yeah, Carl. Welcome back, buddy.
Rule. What do we got there? Larry.
For the chat.
Yes. That was my dad's all-time favorite. Well, favorite player from the 80s was Larry Bird. Yes.
He would have been my first favorite.
Hard not to. He could play some basketball. Bring some excitement to see Cooper Flagg here coming up in the next year or two. I've been hearing he's the real deal.
Yeah, except I was looking forward to seeing him in the tournament, and now he's injured.
Yes, he did sprain his ankle, we think. The severity of it is unknown. We're hoping for a speedy recovery so he can play at least 75-80% health.
Yeah, that'd be great to see him.
And both tournaments this year, women's and men's, I think will be of equal as well. So we got that going, I think, this year too. The women's tournament should have some excitement to it, even if Caitlin Clark's gone. You got Paige Beckers, Juju Watkins kind of covering this up here as well. One last thing, yes, I have been covering ECW. Apparently there's a reunion of sorts in April down in Rochester. It's kind of like a halfway point between where you and I are right now, Justin. If it's feasible, maybe the three of us should make a drive.
Anybody good going to be there?
That's a great question. We're going to have to take a look. And Ryan Huffman, I am going to shout this out right now. So the MAW show that we went to in North St. Paul together in October, when these guys were at AEW Collision, they're going to be coming back to St. Paul May the 2nd, Cinco de Mayo weekend. And if you can believe this, they're going to be at Boca Chica Restaurant, I believe in the parking lot. They're going to set up the ring.
Wow.
I am wild. Stunned. Absolutely stunned.
That's your place.
Yes. Family, 61 years old. Restaurant, tremendous stuff. And they're going to get some independent wrestling. And I'm assuming you're going to get a big name or two. So, Ryan, when you get a chance, give us the card. Or give us some of the performers there as well. So, it looks like, of note, guys I wouldn't mind seeing would be Super Crazy and Jerry Lynn. Because then I see the other names down there. And we might even throw Bubba Ray Dudley's name in here a little bit later. Oh, he's been a topic of controversy here in the last couple of days. Justin,
Yep. You're
the only person that has not given us AEW Revolution thoughts. My assumption is you're as high on the card as we were. If not, maybe a little higher. Let's hear it.
I think I'm about that the same as you guys. I would give it an A. The only thing holding it back from an A plus was an underwhelming main event that started off actually pretty good with them just throwing elbows at each other and then quickly just turned into a boring WWE match. I didn't mind the finish like you. I'm glad they got the Christian Cage stuff out of the way. Hopefully Mox beats Cope next week on Dynamite in the street fight so we can get to Dynasty, where God willing, Swerve will take that title from John Moxley. But yeah, man, start to finish, there wasn't anything I actively disliked on the card. I think the worst match by a country mile was the tag title match, but even that served its purpose. Probably could have even been a little shorter. The three opening matches I thought were all terrific. I got a little worried about the Mercedes Moné and MoMA match because it was a little sloppy at first. It seemed like their timing was off or something, but then they just started beating the crap out of each other and it completely saved the match. Kenny Omega, Takeshita, the greatest cooldown match I think I've ever seen. Started off slow, was kind of just your classic storytelling match. And my favorite thing about it was the finish, which totally left an opening for, you know, part three, where part one was them kind of throwing haymakers, trying to hit home runs on each other. With Takeshita, this one was a little bit more intricate as far as storytelling goes. And I absolutely loved seeing Omega get the win there. The women's match. I think that's my favorite women's match of all time. And they did it under 13 minutes. When you factor in everything that came before it, the story, I just thought it was absolutely tremendous. I agree with everybody else. It should have main evented, especially when you factor in the finish of that bout with the end. And it was just so perfect that it's kind of shocking that it didn't main event. My big question, which, you know, maybe we can talk about if we get into Dynamite, is how will timeless Toni Storm exist outside of Mariah May? Because I think Mariah May is that good, and she brought that much to the table. And well, timeless, that character work with other wrestlers is kind of a wait to be seen. And the cage match, which is really good. And I am not near as high on it as everybody else.
Agreed.
It was the epitome. You know, that steel cage match was kind of my worst case scenario when it comes to Will Ospreay matches, when there just gets to a point where it's just all diminishing returns, especially when it's in a steel cage and it's that violent. It just, there gets to a certain point where it's just like, well, none of this is mattering. Like I started to not care about all the high spots because, you know, they're recovering, you know, 30 seconds later. So it all just becomes kind of meaningless. And that, you know, and I'm criticizing it and I still liked it. It was a very enjoyable match. But man, it was just too much. I wish they would have, I think they could have easily cut 10 minutes off of it, completely scrap that stupid Mark Davis stuff. I'm so sick of run-ins on cage matches. I'm so sick of guys licking the blood off of weapons. That crap can go. When something gross like that happens naturally, like with Hangman drinking Swerve's blood, plus that was something I'd never seen before. I think it's gnarly. But when it's something we've seen a million times before, like the licking or the wiping the blood on your chest or whatever it is, it's just, it kind of makes me roll my eyes at this point.
Oh. And Justin has frozen. So while he is frozen, I am going to quickly kind of dive into some of the takes he had, because with the Kyle Fletcher Will Ospreay match, I completely agree with him. Especially like I said on Unplugged, the spot where the spot where they hit the Spanish fly, it took them a little while to set up, which I was okay with. The humongous problem was 20 seconds after the Spanish fly took place, Kyle Fletcher gets up. He starts yelling at Ospreay and just telling him to F off, F this, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Completely no selling the moves that had just taken place. And I completely agree with Justin Join on that one, 110%. It just makes everything, it doesn't really bring an impact to the moves, which is exactly what you brought up, Justin. That was an excellent point. I was just talking about that Spanish fly spot. I did not like Kyle Fletcher getting up seconds later and starting to yell at Ospreay. That was just dumb.
Yeah, it's just weird. It takes me out of the match. I did not have this point. I just saw somebody else mention it. It's like it reminds me of it reminded them, which reminded me of it just feels like a Triple H and Shawn Michaels Hell in a Cell match where they go way too long. They try and do too much stuff to the point where it's just kind of numbing. But again, I liked it. It would probably be, like a 3 3/4 stars or something. I don't know if I'd quite go to 4 because I don't know how badly I'd want to go and rewatch that one. But yeah, man, amazing show. Not too many. You can't really. It kind of sucks that I give it an A and then all I do is nitpick on it. there was so much to like on it. So many baby faces going over. It really makes for an intriguing next couple months.
Which is exactly what I talked about. We hadn't seen many baby faces winning on these pay-per-views recently. I'm going to get to this point with Dante in the chat here, just saying a WWE PLE main event on an AEW pay-per-view. Absolutely. I will say this, though. In their defense, I didn't think the match was as bad as a lot of people thought, especially if you look at what was in front of it. How can you main event with that? It's just a traditional world title match. There was nothing, there weren't any really bells and whistles. I really like the ending because it's just going to wipe, hopefully, Cope and Christian clean. That's the important thing here. But it definitely was not as bad as people really made it out to be. They just thought it was just this stinker. Like I said, everything before it, though, was just so tremendous. You can't compare it.
And just the layout of the match, and I agree, I implore everybody to become a Patreon and listen to Ryan and Jesse's reviews of the pay-per-view because they're both solid, and I basically agree with almost everything they say. And the question of the women main eventing, which I think they should have. You do have to kind of shuffle the matches around quite a bit because I don't think you want to go from the uber bloody cage match to the uber bloody women's match. You would have to bump the cage match, I think, quite a ways up. You can maybe go cage match, world title match with Mox and Cope, and then go Kenny and Takeshita, and then the ladies. I think maybe would have been the way to go with that. But, that's hindsight's 20/20. You can assume the ladies were going to knock it out of the park, but you don't know for sure. Like there's no way Tony Khan could have known that they were going to have an absolute all-timer banger humper of a match.
And I said it earlier, I don't think there's any chance in hell that a women's match will main event in AEW for the foreseeable future.
You don't think there is?
For a pay-per-view? No. Oh, zero chance.
I disagree. I think they have some possibilities.
I thought this was the only spot you really could do it. I don't think you're ever going to, in my opinion, I don't think you're ever going to see a story in anything that's going to warrant something that big. Unless these two run it back somewhere, I don't know.
Which is possible.
Yeah, that's a very valid point.
Yeah.
Very valid point. And I like your take as well. Go ahead, Justin, you want to follow us?
No. You go ahead and compliment me some more.
Absolutely. that's what I get paid to do. I feel that Tony Storm and Mariah May both without each other. Like, who are they?
Yeah.
We're going to truly find that out here in the coming months.
And I'm not worried about Mariah May, oddly enough. I think she'll be fine. It's just because that timeless character is so unique to the history of wrestling and so connected with that storyline. To see it work with anybody else is going to be pretty interesting, which, to her credit, I thought her promo on Dynamite was really good. So Tony Storm's locked in. She is locked in right now.
Someone's got to come up to her level.
With my criticisms of the steel cage match, should we talk about another steel cage match?
You want to do that now, or do you want to? We might as well segue into it, and we're going to bounce probably right back to AEW after this. Let's do it.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
So with that Ospreay-Fletcher match, which I agreed with Justin as well, I probably would have ranked it 4 stars because the beginning was great. I thought a lot of the stuff that they did was great. Then the second half, it just got egregious.
Mm-hmm.
Still a solid match. We're both nitpicking here, but CM Punk and Seth Rollins had a cage match on WWE Raw on Monday night. And there were some hits and there were some misses in this match, I feel. So Justin, if you want to take some of this discourse to begin, go ahead. Your thoughts on it?
Well, if anybody was shocked that the AEW guy of the podcast, the WWE hater of the guy of the podcast, was nitpicky with that steel cage match between Ospreay and Fletcher, I would probably grade the match between Punk and Rollins about the same. I think they were pretty comparable, even though they're two totally different cage matches. Obviously, WWE's, you know, they really withhold with the blood, which I think would have really helped that match. Maybe they could have cut down on all the FUs and the flipping of the birds. It reminded me of that. Have you seen that viral video of the, I think it's in Europe somewhere, but it's just two guys who keep flipping each other off. They're in a street. And it's like, they get close to each other and they just flip each other
yes.
off. It's just back and forth. And
I have seen that.
That's what that cage match felt like to me. You know, I think they were trying to bring that kind of like PG-13 borderline R to the match. And, you know, that's the best they could do is by cursing at each other. But the spamming of the finishers, I've seen the criticism. That didn't really bother me as much as it bothered other people. And a big part of this, I should clarify, yeah. like I said, I'm not a big WWE guy, so I don't really have a big emotional investment in this match. So like that kind of stuff just probably isn't going to bother me in the first place. Which makes it even more shocking that I would enjoy that steel cage match as much as the Ospreay Fletcher one, which is, you know, goes to say how much I really hate the, you know, the diminishing returns of the big spot after big spot after big spot. The thing that really hurt that match is, again, like with Mark Davis, the fucking running. And I just thought that finish sucked. I thought that was a coward's way out finish. Just let Seth win. I mean, did Punk not win at the Netflix debut show at the Intuit Dome?
He won there, and he also pinned Rollins in the Elimination Chamber as well.
So let Seth get his win clean. That was so stupid to me. Then you can have Roman come out and beat the crap out of both of them. All that was pretty good with Roman beating the crap out of Rollins on the outside, then seeing Paul Heyman comforting or whatever Punk in the ring, and then he went in there and beat the crap out of him. That was well executed. I just hated the finish. I thought that was so bad. And I'm just really not into this, what looks to almost 1,000% be a triple threat match at WrestleMania. I think almost any iteration of a singles match between these three is far more interesting.
100%. The physicality with Punk and Rollins in the beginning with the fists and the mm-hmm. use of the cage, I really enjoyed. Again, this is similar to Fletcher and Ospreay. The first half of the match, I really liked a lot.
Yeah.
And then the spamming of the finishers for me became a little bit crazy. And then they both were like daring to, they're like, I think I'm going to step out of the cage, but I'm not. It's like I'm kind of showing the face heel dynamic there, which both of them are faces with this crowd. There really isn't that line where it's like, well, if I'm the heel, I'm going to run out no matter what. That cage door was just intentionally left open, obviously, because Seth was going to step through it, but it was telegraphed so much. You knew Roman was going to be coming and you could hear mm-hmm. it from coming from a mile away. Yeah, I didn't really like the finish either, but. And let's add this as well, Justin. You got this match that's likely going to be a triple threat. You now are likely looking at a Bianca, Io, and Rhea triple threat for the women's championship. Why all of a sudden are we booking triple threats in massive cards like this, your biggest card of the year?
They've always, to a certain degree, felt like a crutch for the booker. There's like, it feels like an instant where the booker doesn't really know where they want to go, or maybe that, you know, they've got three egos that they're trying to satisfy, and the only way that they can satisfy them and satisfy themselves is to go with a triple threat instead of maybe making the harder decision of leaving one person behind. With the ladies, I still feel like there's something else. There's another step that we've got to go to. I just find it kind of hard to believe, irregardless of how awesome of a performer EO is, that's going to be a triple threat, especially if we're looking at this men's triple threat. It just feels, you know, more times than others, this just feels like a weakness in booking. I think the greatest example is, once again, the Roman match, WrestleMania, with Edge and Danielson. I think that was almost the great example of, they just didn't like their main event, so they threw somebody else into the mix. You know, maybe you could, you know, say the same thing with redacted Triple H and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 20, where Vince probably didn't believe that redacted was a big enough star to, you know, to carry that main event. So he threw the other two guys in there. It's just weird, because like, Roman Punk is probably the biggest match they could do out of these three matches. Roman Seth has the history. And I know a lot of smart people who think that should be the match. The match probably, it should be Roman Rock, but obviously the Rock's not interested in working this WrestleMania. But it feels like kind of cowardice.
You mean Rock doesn't want to put his working boots on in front of 30,000 people in Las Vegas right now?
Doesn't seem like it.
Ooh, those ticket sales, 30,000 a night we're looking at in a 50,000 seat setup. That's interesting. They price themselves out, because it has nothing to do with the hotness of the product. Let's get into Huffman's point here with the Heyman favor could be to make that the main event of night one, but is a triple threat with no title on the line really a main event? Well, they're going to make it one. It's 100% sure. It's been pretty much proven that those three are larger names to the WWE audience than Jey Uso and Gunther.
I guess my two responses to that would be, one, what have they shown that Heyman would have the power to place a match in the main event of a WrestleMania, like that as if he's, you know, somehow the general manager or something. But two, and more importantly, whatever match Roman Reigns is in is going to be the main event, plain and simple, which is why this is just kind of silly and why you wouldn't want him to be in a bigger match, which, you know, they've got time. You know, I'm sure they'll put together an amazing promo package to make it feel bigger than it does right now, when we get closer to the event. But yeesh, they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, with the individual stories, I felt that Roman and Seth would have been the match to play here, 110%. And then where does that leave Punk? You can figure that out. I mean, especially, and there's also this secondhand report, which is kind of going to bounce into night two with Cena and Cody. Have you been hearing this thing about Paul Levesque and Dwayne Johnson butting heads backstage, where he wanted Cody to turn, but Cody nixed it? So they said, okay, let's do Cena instead. And that's the plan that they went with here for WrestleMania, and Cena winning the Elimination Chamber and making the turn.
I don't think I did see that. The funny thing about getting off of Twitter and not being one who really goes digging for wrestling news, you don't really see a bunch of that. So, you know, it's funny, because like, you brought up maybe talking about Bubba Dudley later. I have no idea what you're referring to.
Good to know. Yeah, you should be happy you didn't miss that.
My social media at this point is basically just Blue Sky, which is at this point for me, just a Hangman page account.
Was it Lee's Plants?
Yes, they are.
Tremendous stuff. Huffman will go again. Yeah, I mentioned those tickets. in how it looks like SmackDown in Des Moines, which I believe is sometime in May. It's going to be about $100 for an okay seat.
You know, and that's not just WWE. That's AEW too. I mean, that's music concerts. That's everybody. The ticket prices are just absurd right now. You know, I saw AEW's coming back to Chicago, and for a split second, I was like, oh, I would like to go see Dynamite in Chicago. And it's like, ah, I remember what I paid for, you know, less than great seats in fucking Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So yeah, I'm probably not going to be going to that. I'm not going to any more live shows until they drop some of these ticket prices.
Yeah. So disclosure, I am going to find my way into the building for the Roy Wilkins show, the Dynamite, here in about a week and a little less than 2 weeks away.
Oh, you are going to it?
Well, 80%. It's the only thing I have to do right now, which I've already discussed with the miss, is it's my night to have my son, and we're just going to have to, we're going to trade days as long as I get the approval.
Yeah, I suppose if you haven't, you know, had your eyeballs glued to eBay like me and spending money on trading cards, you probably have a little extra scratch for a Dynamite show.
Been saving a little bit. It was either that, there was a concert that was potential here in a couple of weeks that I might have been going to down right at the X. There's a lot of events going on, which Huffman is pointing out as well. You got the Raw, the Target Center on April 7th, which I will not be at as well because the tickets are just too astronomical there. AEW is a little more reasonable, and on the secondhand market, I know I can find something that's reasonable. The prices are okay right now for that Dynamite, but I'm going to wait till the week of, but I am going to go.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. As a renowned WWE hater, it just feels like, I mean, they are at a big risk of, you know, if this booking slips at all and, you know, people don't like where certain things are going, they're at risk of losing all this momentum they have going because of their high prices. And like, you know, I've already heard multiple people who, you know, they go to every WrestleMania, and I don't think they're going to be going to this one now because you talked about it on your Unplugged. Las Vegas isn't in exactly a kid friendly place to be, you know, be taking a family, but even outside of like people with kids, it's so expensive to go.
Easter weekend, double jeopardy right there. That's even a harder sell for people.
Yeah.
Some people. Super difficult. So yeah, World Wrestling Entertainment's a little bit behind the eight ball with about a month to go until their largest event of the year, which had been gaining a lot of steam. And I'm telling you right now, I have not been writing Gunther's promos to cut on Jey Uso whatsoever. I promise you, I'm not a part of his writing team. But listening to what he's been saying these last handful of weeks in those promos sounds exactly like something I would say about Jey Uso.
What was he saying about Jey Uso?
Just basically calling him a four-letter catchphrase maven. Can't wrestle a lick. You're the underdog. We know you can't get into this ring and face me. I am the superior talent in the ring. You're nothing, but yeah, you're pretty much nothing but what I just told you. So nailed it.
Yeah, he's not wrong, which is going to make it even more of a shame when he loses at WrestleMania, which I would say is about a certainty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it definitely is. And this is definitely not the consolation prize, but this is more of the, what do they call a world championship that's kind of gifted to you, even though you kind of deserve it and you kind of don't?
Consolation prize?
Sort of, yeah. Or the Lifetime Achievement World Heavyweight Championship. I think that's what they're going to be aiming to give Mr. Jey Uso here.
The Yeet Time Achievement Award.
Yeah. Just caught fire with a catchphrase. And oh, by the way, they took one of your heaters and moved him over to Dwayne Johnson. And by the way, that heater also punched Cody Rhodes right in the face. Oh, that black
guy. Didn't Cody say he didn't hurt him? Are we sure that wasn't makeup? I'm being serious. And Cody said he didn't, Travis Scott didn't hurt him at all.
That's pretty solid makeup if that's the case.
They got the money for a good makeup artist.
Yeah, you're definitely right there. Well, yeah, we can bounce back from the cage matches back to AEW. I'm going to touch on a couple of things with Revolution before we hit Dynamite from last night. I loved MJF and Hangman.
Yeah, it was freaking incredible. It was fantastic, especially Hangman winning clean. And I kind of liked the fallout at Dynamite. But yeah, MJF is kind of in an incredible pay-per-view opener wrestler. I mean, he's an incredible in-ring wrestler irregardless, but that dude doesn't really miss when it comes to openers.
No, and he definitely had. He opened with Wardlow in Vegas, didn't he?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, when he just got destroyed. And we were at arguably my favorite opener maybe of all time, him and Darby, Full Gear.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going back to the roots of his character. Now, you mentioned their interaction backstage last night. What did you think of the interaction with MJF and MVP?
That might have been my favorite part of Dynamite. Just because it felt like it was so out of nowhere, but it really, that was something that really gets your gears turned. It's like, well, where could this go? Like, MJF does not feel like he fits with the Hurt Syndicate at all, like as a member of that group. But, you know, do you disagree?
I don't disagree. We have something here. Are you ready?
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Hey,
oh my God, what just happened?
There he is. My God, is that Ryan Drosty?
just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in. Look at that.
Justin, let's make this point before Ryan, we're just going to say a hello here. Yeah, the tombstone onto that standing chair of that MJF Hangman match. How sweet was that?
Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
So we were just talking about MJF and the MVP stuff from last night. Basically, MJF and the Hangman segment too. So we just glowing about that. But how are you?
Oh man, it's been a week.
But conferences.
Yeah, we had long work days this week, and then I had my kids' conferences tonight, and I'll sit there eating my dinner, and I turned on the live stream of Top Rope Nation, and I was really enjoying Top Rope basketball for a while there.
I don't have any bowls in my collection yet. Sorry, Ryan. I will remedy that at some point.
Both of you guys around my age, a little bit older, neither of you had Michael Jordan as your favorite player. Unbelievable.
I did say
I was a Celtics guy.
I did hear you say it later, but yeah. Yeah. And then the card breaks, that was very good. I felt a little left out because I've been picking up wrestling cards with my kids lately. So I'm just going to show off one. I know this is not what you've been talking about. I'm just going to change the topic. But some stuff in my office here, and I got some good ones, you guys. I've pulled some good wrestling cards of late. So we're just going to
see. I've heard about
show.
A couple of these.
Yeah, let's see here. Okay, check this out. This is the only 25 made Mariah May rookie card Outburst Red.
Ooh, hold on. Yeah.
My light's getting in the way, but it's a sweet card.
That's there sharp.
I might send this one to get in graded. I got to see what our buddy Aaron Graham thinks, because he is a card expert. I know he was in the chat earlier.
Yeah. He was talking about that Triple Diamond store, which sounds like it isn't too far from me.
Yeah. And here's a Heroes and Heroines MJF. This is also limited to 25 cards in the world because it's got a hologram effect to it. Check that out. Mm-hmm. Case that one up. So, man, cards. You guys were talking my language here earlier. And
now, do you want to be impressed? Out. All right, let me see if I can. This is, I can't really see it, but it's numbered to 349, a special green prism card of Paul Turner. Eat your heart out.
Unbelievable. Now that's the card. That's the card I got to get my hands on.
All right. Fuck it. Ryan's here. I'm going to grab another beer.
Justin's actually drinking tonight too.
Oh man. Yeah, I did see that. So I had an NA at dinner, and I had an Athletic. I think it was the Copper Mexican Lager.
Oh, that's good.
I got a cheap old Miller Lite that I wanted to open on the broadcast, though. So,
and it counts. Huffman again in the chat. Might as well while you're here. Does your daughter count classmate swear words?
Probably. Yeah. She had a good conference, though. So my kids were doing good. Oh, man. What a week. And to start this week, it's just been wild, man, because Revolution being on Sunday night, I was up so late doing the BR show, putting that out for the patrons after that. Felt like the week just got started. I was on a lack of sleep basically the whole time. And it's been, look, I know a lot of people out there have long weeks too, so I don't want to pity party too much, but it's been a long week, you guys. I was ready for this beer.
Your conferences are crazy, though. That's an all-day thing.
Yeah, it's like two 12-hour days, Tuesday and Thursday. We had 7 hours of conferences today. Tuesday, we had like 4.5 hours of conferences. It's a thing. I'm rejuvenated. I will be getting rejuvenated with some time off here over the next week, though. And we'll be talking about the direction of the show, too. I'll make a little announcement at the end of the podcast here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, carry on.
Did you guys talk about Huffman's third comment down? Because I really enjoyed that part of Dynamite. It was a weird Dynamite.
Cause we did not.
You know, Dynamite's known for it's the in-ring product. And I thought the in-ring product was kind of weak last night. But I thought there was like the show was snappy. I thought it moved quick. And I liked almost all the promos. It was just a lot of promos. Mm. But I really like, you know, some of the directions they laid out, including, you know, teasing this Christian Cage and Nick Wayne stuff. Hopefully I do want to see somewhere down the line, Edge and Christian reuniting.
Yeah, they're going to get there for sure. I think there's no way those two guys don't want to do that. It'll happen. Be curious how they get there, but I could see that. I could see it coming out of this. What do you guys think? You probably already talked about it. What do you guys think of them running back Mox and Cope next week?
It being so close to the pay-per-view, I'm kind of okay with it that it's not going to be this long, drawn-out build. You know, it's the street fight, so there's probably going to be more shenanigans. It kind of feels like Tony giving them an opportunity to redeem themselves for, you know, a flop of a main event on one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time. So I don't hate it. I think those guys will really come out to try and show off.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to stand up against. So that's definitely a fair point. And in our group text, which we'll let you in on, we talked about world title matches on television for AEW and how they hadn't had one in a long time.
Oh, God, no.
It's not going to happen.
Jinx this, Jesse. Jesus.
No. It's not going to happen here. But I'm just saying that just kind of the unpredictability factor that maybe in some people's minds, maybe that could happen. But we had talked about maybe Swerve cashing in that title shot on a Dynamite and pulling a shocker, winning it on TV instead of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I would have really liked that. Just do something a little bit different. I'm cashing in tonight or I'm cashing in next week if they want to build up the rating, you know, whatever. Just shock people a little bit. You know, I think we're all kind of rooting for Swerve to win it at this point. Mm-hmm. We've all wanted a different world champion. But when they immediately announced Dynasty, it kind of a little bit of me inside was like, no, they couldn't do this on TV. It would have been really cool. Because I mean, it was pandemic, but still, when Kenny won it on that Winter's Coming, it was, I mean, that was a super memorable night. I remember watching it with my oldest daughter watched it with me, and she talked about it for months after the fact.
Know what else happened on that night?
I don't even remember. That's all I remember.
The debut of Sting.
Oh, it was.
Oh, was that that show? Night?
Wow.
Yes, it was.
Oh, one hell of a winner is coming, I'd say.
Jesus. Yeah.
Fantastic for a pandemic show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are long overdue for a big world title change on television. But, you know, the other thing that really had my gears turning was, you know, I think we're all kind of assuming Swerve's going to win at Dynasty. And then we had Will Ospreay cutting a pretty weird but entertaining promo that kind of fit his manic energy. And, you know, he brought up he's going to win the Owen Hart Cup and go on to main event All In. I mean, could we be staring down a Swerve Ospreay world title main event, which is, I don't like the thing that makes my head spin is like, does Swerve just beat him again? Or is Swerve just going to be champion for a couple months and they're going to take the title off of him again? You know, like you would think with Forbidden Door in England, if they were going to put the title on Ospreay, they'd maybe wait till then. But man, I will say, if All In and Texas is headlined by Swerve Ospreay and a unification match between Omega and Okada, that's one hell of a way to get that card moving.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to make a road trip.
I don't.
It's getting close.
We just got done talking about those ticket prices.
Well, WWE is insane. I mean, I had the rant on that a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. maybe a couple months ago. I don't even remember, but I saw Huffman's chat here. I was scrolling through everything I missed. Yeah, it's. I was thinking about that SmackDown in Des Moines, but man, those tickets are outrageous. We'll see. They'll probably end up doing some kind of like buy three, get one free or something when it doesn't sell. You can't charge over $100 a ticket in Des Moines, Iowa and fill the place up. You just can't. So, yeah, I don't know, man. All In though, like there's going to be some affordable tickets to that. It's a drive, but
yeah.
If you don't fly, you can save some money, Justin. I might have to. Well, actually, I don't have to convince you. I have to convince my wife because the show is 2 days before our anniversary. So I don't know if she'll go for it or not.
Trey, Megan, I hear Arlington is beautiful this time of year.
Beautifully.
And while we're there, we can check out the sixth floor museum where JFK got assassinated. That's probably what you want to do on our anniversary.
Oh, that's so romantic.
Yeah. I've been there. It's cool. But yeah. Go to a country bar.
If I didn't have my son that weekend, which I did spy, I do. If I didn't, I would consider that. And that'd be my only, that'd be like my last venture for a while.
Hey, speaking of which, we're getting way off track. I've ruined the entire dynamic of this show. It's hard to get into a show at the end and not know what you guys have been talking about. Are we going to go to that New Japan show? We got to talk about this off air. That's something we
Let's figure it out. We'll figure it out off air.
I also think I killed the chat room. What's going on, you guys? Are you guys still here? Because this was so active when I was watching on my phone. And then I get here and nobody's talking. I get this nerd off the show. What's he doing?
Speaking of free flowing, I might as well jump into this right now, Ryan. I'll take the host control once again. Dante saying he really enjoyed that top rope gorilla press slam during the debut of Speedball Mike Bailey match. Mm.
That was
a sweet spot.
Yeah, he's got a lot to prove for me. Like it's kind of similar, even though I had a long history with Ricochet. Speedball's kind of in that same category of like high flyer. I know he has great matches, but does he have any kind of character? Is he just karate mullet, barefoot guy? You know, he's going to take some convincing for me, especially with his size. Which, you know, hey, if he's just brought into a hot name, you know, you push him a little bit here at the start and then you just kind of let him have cool matches in the mid card. I think I would be pretty okay with that.
Yeah. Ryan, your thoughts?
I don't know. They got to do something to differentiate him. He can't just do what he did this week. That's not going to work. Like what they've done with Ricochet. They gave him a totally different character. He started to stand out. Yeah, he can't just be the same kind of guy he's been before. He's going to have to develop a new character. So, no, I agree. I'm not sold on him right now. He is an outstanding worker, no question about it. But I don't think it's going to work if he just does what he did on Wednesday night.
No, it's very, very early in the introduction phase, and it's going to be interesting to see that four-way next week. Did you kind of like how they formatted that tournament together real fast just to face Omega here at Dynasty?
I kind of wish it would end with a one-on-one match instead of this, four-way. But I love a lot of the options, like the thought of Omega Ricochet or Omega Shibata, or I mean, even like I don't think there's no way this happens, but like Omega and Mark Briscoe, I think that'd be a fucking killer match. I was really rooting for Hechizero to win. I think he's a little bit more interesting in the ring at this point, but Orange has the history with the international title. He's kind of, you know, had the best run with that title ever. So it makes sense for him to advance. There's some interesting options for Omega just to basically have a cool match at Dynasty.
Yeah. I feel like Shibata and Ricochet would have been my top two choices, and they wrestle each other.
Yeah.
So if one of them is going to get taken out right away, because I mean, unless they just want to go full steam ahead with Bayley, but I don't know if that works right away. Well, you know, we'll see. But, and then it's like, do you beat Ricochet after, you know, he's coming off of that loss?
I would put my money on him being the one to face Omega.
That's what I was thinking too.
That is a match. Have we seen it? If we did, it would have, because Omega got promoted to the heavyweight division. So we probably saw it in New Japan, but he got promoted in 2016 when they kicked AJ out of the Bullet Club.
It probably, it might have happened in, you know, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla too.
Also fair.
The only singles match they've had listed on Cage Match, at least, is Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in 2014. And then they were in some six-mans, it looks like, and some eight-mans in New Japan in 2016, May and July of 2016. So, yeah, maybe just that one singles match. I don't know. There could be an error here on the Cage Match, but according to Cage Match, it's just the one.
It might be. Yeah, there's some insane Ricochet matches that are in, that are, he's involved in some insane six-mans with Matt Sydal and Will Ospreay against, I think the biggest one was the Young Bucks and Adam Cole from PWG. You can find highlights on YouTube. Spot fest and a half, and during that time, that thing went viral so fast.
Those PWG shows were so hard to get a hold of because they would only sell them on disc. Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't buy them over the internet and stream them or anything. You know, that was always very frustrating for me because I'd hear all the stuff about these matches. It would take me forever to see them. But yeah, the 2014 one was Battle Los Angeles, 2014.
Okay. Ooh, nice.
August 31st. Yeah.
Can we rewind a little bit? Because there are.
Yeah.
There's one thing I don't feel like I got your guys' opinion on that I would like to hear. And then I want to super rewind to get Ryan's opinion on something. What did you guys think of the Hurt Syndicate MJF stuff? Like, did that tickle your fancy at all? Or would just, what'd you think?
You go. Ryan. You can go first, Justin.
Okay. I think, yeah, it did. I'm starting to think back to, was it Dynasty? Was that MJF's group back in MLW?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe so.
I think MJF could, it'd be an interesting for him to vibe with Lashley as well as Shelton, also going along with MVP, because I have a weird feeling they're going to circle back to Swerve Strickland, especially if he gets this world championship, where now MJF has this stable. Lashley almost becomes kind of like the muscle, maybe the first person to face Swerve and then get to a Swerve MJF program down the line. I mean, this is big time prognostication here, but that could happen. So
don't hate it.
Maybe. I'd be okay with it.
I don't know if I like it. Just because the fans are getting so behind Hurt Syndicate that you put such a heel like MJF with them and it makes that a little awkward. I mean, I guess if they really just don't want the fans to be behind them, then they could do it. But it just seems like they're organically becoming super popular. Like, they're one of the most over acts on the entire car. The crowd loves singing the theme song.
I sing it all day long.
So, like, I don't know. Does MJF take away from that? Because, like, he can't really feed into that. I just feel like they're the cool guys that they wanted to be heels that the crowd's just going to gravitate towards because it's this cool ass tag team. And I don't know if I really like it, but I'd be open to seeing it. I personally probably would not, though. What's your take, Justin?
I'm just intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. If only because I can't wrap my head around where it could be going. To your point, Hurt Syndicate is so cool. They're baby faces. We've already seen that MJF doesn't work that way. So yeah, it's a good thing. I just want to see where it's going. I hope it's not just some segment on a television show that we never see anything from ever again. I think Jesse's right that does feel like it's got to tie in with Swerve down the road. Which boy, that sure. Once again, hopefully makes it feel like Swerve's going to be taking that title at Dynasty. But it's exciting. For my criticisms of Dynamite in-ring wise, I did come out of it just like really excited for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. To the point about Swerve, I want to make a point about this because I talked about this on the BR show and then that I put out for our patrons as an extra when I reviewed Revolution. And then Jesse did an awesome review of Revolution on TRN Unplugged, which, by the way, you guys, not to shill too much, but I was looking at the two feeds and it was like main feed, Patreon feed. How many episodes of this show since the last flagship for the main feed? There's been like, what, three podcasts or something that only patrons got? If you guys aren't on that Patreon feed, there's so much more audio content for $5. But I digress. Anyways, give us a shot. You'll like it. But Jesse and I both did these separate shows. And, you know, we kind of talked the positives and negatives about Swerve or Ospreay and them being the one that had would have beat Brian way back at WrestleDream last fall. I feel like this Mox thing just continues to be a problem because I go either way on that. I put the idea out there of Ospreay should have beat Brian, rematch a Dynasty last year, skip the whole Mox title reign. Jesse, you said Swerve, that would work too. But either way, if they had done that, either guy could have had a pretty lengthy title run and then dropped it to the other guy. And now here we're in this situation where Mox has had this title reign that has just been kind of a time waster. And if you want both guys to get the title this year, one of them's going to have a very short reign. And I don't want to see Swerve have, you know, just, I think he deserved more of a reign last time than he had before, but it was just clear that they had to move it to Brian. So they had what he had it for 4 months, I think.
A little over.
And he deserved to have it longer than that. And so like, if he beats Mox here at Dynasty this year, he's going to have to be dropping it to Ospreay probably. Like, you can't go another year without putting the title on Ospreay, can you? It's just, I feel like it's got to happen this year. And
or,
so then that
or Hangman.
Situation. And Hangman is there too. So, like, just Mox did not need to be in this lineage to the point both of us made. They could have run the same storyline with Brian, with the paper, with the plastic bag, and like the attack and everything. They could have done all of that. It didn't, he didn't have to drop the title to Moxley. It's just, and I like John Moxley a lot. Listen to the archives. He was my wrestler of the year 1 year. He's been one of my favorite performers in recent years. I just think, man, that was a big miss to put the world title on him these last few months.
And not to mention with Moxley's premise of wanting the young guys to step up and actually make AEW, what this really did was show you that the true main event was kind of being brought to the forefront and overshadowing Mox's reign. So once Mox got rid of all of these guys that were just a little bit lesser than, you now see the true guys of AEW, the Swerves, the Ospreys, and the Hangmans, and also MJF to an extent too. They're the ones that are coming for the championship. They're going to rescue it. And we got a new AEW coming here soon.
Yeah. Which that was, you know, going back to Dynamite, that was the constant thread of the entire show, was these guys talking about that world title, which just makes it feel that more important and get you more juiced up for the future. It's exciting times, man.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Ryan, about something me and Jesse have already talked about, but I'm super curious about your opinion.
Go ahead and do that.
What'd you think of the Punk and Rollins cage match?
If I'm totally honest with you, I haven't watched the thing in full.
Whoa, really? Yeah, I thought you were watching Raw. Otherwise, I wouldn't have asked you.
I know what happened, and I saw highlights and stuff. I watched all of Raw pretty much live up until that match, and then
Like, fuck this.
Well, my oldest was up kind of late, and then I had to put her to bed, and then it got late, and we had conferences the next day, so I went to bed, and I just haven't got back to it. I will say, you know, with Roman coming out and everything, that match does not interest me that much. That triple threat. And I think Huffman made the point in the chat earlier. This whole WrestleMania card is not doing much for me at all. I'm going to be real honest. You know, like I've said on the show that I mostly enjoy the WWE product these days, more so than I did a few years ago by far. I think they've just muddied the waters. I don't like doing the triple threat with the women. Jesse, you talked about that. That, I don't know why they did that shock title change. You know, like, love Io Sky, but doesn't need to be in that match. How much do we talk about on the podcast? That Rhea Bianca match was so protected. It's a legit dream match in the women's division. Never happened before in the main roster. What are you doing? Why are you making it a triple threat? Nobody was pining for that. Yeah, Roman, Seth, and Punk. I don't need to see that triple threat either. That doesn't do much for me. Jey Uso, whatever. People like him. I don't get it at all. He's probably going to beat Gunther for the world title, almost certainly. Does nothing for me at all. I mean,
I bet you're rock hard over the prospect of AJ Styles and Logan Paul, though.
Oh, yeah.
Six to midnight.
That does, yeah, I mean, that doesn't do much for me. The Cena heel turn, yeah, you know, that was cool. I don't know how the match is going to be. We'll see, but
I don't care. As long as Cena beats that fucking nerd up, that's all I want.
I don't know what his schedule is, but how do you run that storyline and then not have him on TV at all? Yeah. That is freaking bizarre to me. That is so, these nerds out here that want to say that this was a bigger thing than Hulk Hogan, give me a freaking break. Not even in the same stratosphere. And Hogan was on Nitro, like, all the time, building up the NWO and stuff. We haven't seen Cena since. Now, again, maybe he can't because of his schedule, but like, I don't know, film something to air on Raw or something. He could freaking film it with his phone. They've done this before, you know, like he could have done something. And there's just no follow up to it. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me as someone who's watched wrestling for a long time, at least.
Elimination Chamber, which was arguably their best PLE in a couple of years, I think top to bottom as a whole. I mean, we talked about WrestleMania Night 2 last year and 39 Night 1, pretty close and comparable to that. But you mentioned Cena, and I mentioned this to Justin. The next three Raws are going to be overseas. Barcelona, Spain tomorrow night for SmackDown as well. And I know Cena's already advertised to be overseas too. So, but yeah, why? That makes zero sense to me. And I've been saying that from the beginning. Why isn't Cena on TV nearly every week? And this is your last year.
Yeah. Those shows are airing live on Netflix, right? During the afternoon here, too. Mm-hmm. That's going to be. Did you guys see that Meltzer report? I don't know. Do we talk about that? That he was saying in the U.S., Raw Netflix streams are like below 1 million.
Oh, that's too bad.
I did not see this.
I saw that floating around. I don't know if I actually checked into that or not, but I saw that photo. Right. That is true. TKO. That is real bad. That is real bad.
Poor guys.
So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's no follow up with Cena though. You get all that publicity, and then he's not on the show at all in any fashion. Don't get it. Don't get it at all.
Yep, cool. He's got to carry the feud.
Genius though, Paul Levesque.
Grace, the Lord and Savior. History. Yep. Didn't you see all those gate records he broke? Pay-per-view after pay-per-view, Raw after Raw.
Yeah. What's inflation? I don't know. Someone explain. How much more charging for tickets now than in the Attitude Era when I could buy a $40 ticket on the main floor, which still wouldn't equate to what they're charging these days?
Inflation's what's keeping WrestleMania at a 60% capacity right now for those two nights.
You mean people don't want to take their kids for a kids product to Las Vegas during Easter weekend? What? What kind of scheduling is that? Just terrible. Oh, Minneapolis, man. It was right there, Jesse. It was right there.
Easter weekend, yep.
I feel like I have to look up this in the Observer now because I didn't read the episode that week, but I saw that flowing out there that David supposedly said that, but sometimes people misquote Dave. So if that is actually true and it's less than 1 million, man, that is wild.
Look that up quick. I'm going to answer this question about going back to AEW and Cedric Alexander planning to join the Hurt Syndicate. I would totally probably say that is not going to happen because Big Swole, as you know, is the wife of Cedric Alexander, and she left the company on pretty bad terms. So I do not see Cedric Alexander signing with AEW. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree. I cannot find this. I am looking and looking. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, my heavens. Is there anything else that we missed here on AEW Dynamite, Justin?
My only other thing is I am really digging the ops, although I really wish it was just a Joe and Shibata tag team instead of having to throw Hook in there. And I mean, at least now he's got a towel like the other two. So there's that.
His dad had a towel. Why wouldn't he care for carry it from the beginning?
I know, right? But I like them being set up to dethrone the Death Riders.
I'd be a fan of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't find this right now. Don't quote me on this. I have no idea if it's accurate. I saw that floating around, though, somewhere about Raw and its viewership. Who knows?
I was going to jump into thoughts on Megan Bain quick.
I'm seeing like 2.6 million for Raw on February 24th. But that's a worldwide number, I believe. It's not just US.
Wow.
So, I mean, they were doing that, you know, just US on USA Network. Okay. Wait, here we go. I found it. He says, translated, that would be 1.226 million viewers in the US over the course of the week and 981,000 on the first day, or down 43.6% from the numbers the same week last year on USA and the first time the show didn't crack 1 million viewers. That's for the February 27th show? February 24th show, I believe. Yeah. So it sounds like that report was accurate. 981,000 first day viewers on Netflix for Raw, and then got to 1.2 million over the course of the week. That is down significantly from what they were doing on USA Network.
To go home before the chamber, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. That's the 224. Just double checking, because he's talking about like the February 27th, or the February 17th show too. But I think he's comparing to that show. So I mean, they are down significantly, at least in U.S. viewers on Netflix. So
yeah, that's one of the big things that got him hot, was going overseas. Mm-hmm. Those crazy and raucous crowds, where when you'd send them back here to PLEs, it was pretty tepid, I felt, from a crowd perspective as well. And that's a good point, Dante. Maybe he has been at these Raws. We just can't see him. You had a point there. Yeah.
Anything else on the agenda, or you guys want me to talk about the show's future? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the future.
I think we got everything in, yeah.
Well, don't panic, you guys. We've talked about this on the show a little bit. We're gonna change the time slot. Now, we're getting decent live viewership numbers tonight, hopping chat, but most weeks on Thursday, we have been struggling with the live viewers, and I've been complaining about it on the show, so maybe that's why some of you tuned in, and I appreciate it. But overall, we do way more viewers on the weekends. So I think we're gonna shift now in 2 weeks to doing the shows. Some weeks it might be Saturday morning, some weeks it might be Sunday morning. It's going to fluctuate a little more. We're not going to have so much of, you know, a hard time slot for these. We'll be in flux a little bit, whatever works best with people's schedule. But, you know, the thing is, roughly 20% of our audience lives in the UK, and they're hardly ever able to tune in live. Unless you're like John Hope and he stays up late, and we appreciate that. But most of them don't do that, and I don't blame them. It'd be really late over there. So if we do the show's U.S. time, you know, in the morning, we can sip our coffee, talk about the week's news and pro wrestling, and get the entire Top Rope Nation viewership together. And I think that that's probably more preferable. And just judging by your numbers, those shows always tend to do a lot more in viewership. And then, you know, on the pay-per-view weekends, the show can just be reviewing that in our normal, what would become our normal time slot. It's possible we'll still do some midweek later night ones too. It's not like a hard and fast rule, but I think in general, we're going to move to try to start doing these on the weekends is the goal. So you guys feel good about that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely going to be, scheduling is going to be difficult at times. You know, we all have kids, and especially during the summer and activities and stuff and vacations, it can be difficult. But I have faith in this trifecta that we can make it work. And more importantly, I have faith in our listeners and our fans that they would like to hear us on the weekends, sipping coffee instead of slamming beers.
Well, we did the poll in the Facebook group, and overwhelmingly people voted weekend mornings. So it sounded like that's what they wanted.
Potent coffee instead of potent alcohol. Or potent NAs, apparently, for all of us recently.
Look at that Bret Hart card he's showing off right now.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is why you need to watch the live streams, you guys, because you're not seeing these visuals if you're only on the podcast side.
I got to find that Bret Hart that's in my kids' collection right now, because that's numbered Pulsar Red. Oh, it's a thing of beauty.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other announcement is that next week we're just going to take the week off. For those of us that have kids around here, it's spring break week.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to spend some extra time with the family and just kind of reset and get ready for the time change for the show. Like I was saying earlier, there's a backlog of content on the Patreon side. So if you want to hear from us next week, sign up for the free trial and hear the most recent classics. Hear Jesse's Unplugged. Jesse's doing a show every week. He's got an ECW 1995 series. It's phenomenal.
So good.
That you guys want to hear. Jesse will probably, I don't want to promise anything, but he's probably going to be releasing an Unplugged next week for Patreon anyways. So, I mean, you'll get that. But you can, you know, if you sign up now, you can dive into the entire library and all those classic shows. But there are so many classic shows. We have patrons that have been patrons for months that I talked to who are like finally getting to SummerSlam 97 in your archives, you know, like, because there's just so many and they're all comprehensive 2 to 3 hour deep dives. It takes people a while to go through them all. So, I mean, we got some shows, they start their Patreon and there's like nothing behind the paywall. There's like one bonus show or something like that. We got like 180 bonus shows. So, I mean, if you like us hearing us talk classic wrestling, it's all there. You know, you guys can all go check that out if you want next week. And if not, maybe you want a break from listening to us. We'll be back the week after. But next week, the main feed is only going to be a preview of the most recent classics we did on In Your House 6. I've already scheduled that to publish next Friday, so I don't even have to think about it. We almost never take weeks off. So, you know, this is a rare occurrence, but we're going to be shifting around our time slot. And with spring break and everything and having some time off work, at least on my side, figured that this was a good time for that. So that's the plan.
Amen.
That's all I got. Unless you guys have anything for the good of the cause. Jesse, I'll let you sign us off if that's it.
Oh, I have to sign us off. Okay. I'll actually ask this question, Justin, since I know what Ryan is doing on spring break. What are you guys doing on spring break?
I might be in your neck of the woods.
Mm. Ooh.
I might be going to a Timberwolves game. Might be having to watch my beloved Timberwolves face my beloved New Orleans Pelicans.
Is it the Trey Murphy-led New Orleans Pelicans?
Oddly enough, Trey Murphy is my boy. That's the dude whose cards I've been collecting, rounding up his rookie cards.
Wow. Nice.
I dove into his stats tonight because I was looking at Prize Picks and throwing something together, and I considered him to be a part of it. So didn't realize he was leading the team in scoring right now.
Is he really? Oh, that kind of surprises me.
Either that or he's been leading the team in scoring over the last 10 games. Because
that I would believe. Yeah. Although Zion seems to finally be getting his shit together.
Mm-hmm. On a bad team right now.
Of course he is. I know a team that could have traded for him. Would have been a lot more fun to watch.
Would have helped.
There's rumors out there. I'm like, do it. Why not? It'd be entertaining to watch him play for the Bulls.
Yeah. Why do that when you can extend Patrick Williams?
Dear God. Hopeless. I will say this. I am very much looking forward to next fall when Jesse and I are arguing about the first and second place Vikings and Bears. So that'll be fun times.
I think the NFC North is going to be a freaking bloodbath next season.
Yeah, it will be. And for the foreseeable future, I think.
The schedule is brutal for the Minnesota Vikings and coming up in 2025. It's bad. Like I see 10 wins is what I see. And this roster is more talented right now on paper than the 2024 team.
What do you think they're going to do at quarterback? I saw those rumors about Aaron Rodgers.
Don't let it be fucking Rodgers. From, you know, he's going to end up, you know, having the exact same fucking career as Favre. And then he's going to go take advantage of a bunch of, you know, I'm not going to say it.
Well, I just don't think you want that circus up there. I feel like he would upset what's happening with your team over the last year. I would not want any part of that.
I think JJ is going to be good too.
Kevin O'Connell's a wise man, in my opinion, and just when it comes to the decisions that he makes in terms of just locker room people, and we've all seen the Aaron Rodgers circus. Green Bay wanted him out of there, and he went to New York Jets, did the same thing. So
he stunk with the Jets too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It'll be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. Fun season.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose I'll close the show. And Dante, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in, Dante. Good to see you.
Yeah.
We shall be safe. Everybody else have a wonderful evening in the United States. I know you UK folks are sleeping. So for Ryan Drosty and Justin Joint, Jesse Velasquez here. This is episode 377 of Top Rope Nation. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Peace.
We break rules, we break checks, we break arms, we break legs, we break rookies, we break vets, we break refs for break fest. Business with the syndicate, we finish it, we limitless, talking any block, we spinning it, we talking but we living it, we mess around with the almighty. Yeah, businessmen and we all grimy. Yeah, beat you down, make it go.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.